Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to read verses 28 to 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And let's pray together. Father, Lord, You give us so much in Your Word. Please help us, Lord, understand and apply this truth to our lives. Use this truth today, Father, please, to encourage each believer here. And Lord, what a mighty God we serve. Please, we need Your help. And Lord, we just thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Now, this is one of the more famous passages in the Bible because it is so encouraging. You got Psalm 23. You've got several chapters that people turn to. You have the comforting books in the New Testament. You've got 1 Thessalonians is called one of the most endearing books of the Bible. 1 Peter is called one of the most comforting chapters. Isaiah chapter 40 is a famous reference that people make because of the encouragement. So we're going to look at the chapter this morning, and I want you to notice here, we didn't get to read it, but look at the two questions that are almost the same. Look at verse 18. Watch this. God asks two questions that are almost identical. Look what God's asking in verse 18. To whom will then ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? Now, we're going to look at the section before that and after it, but there, God then asks, God says, who will you liken me to? Let me rephrase that. God says, what can I show you that gives you a picture of what I'm like? Because I'm so majestic. That's verse 18. Look at verse number 25. God asks the same question again. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. So God, here, you know, there's two places in your Bible where God asks questions that man cannot answer. One of them is Job chapter 40 and 41. And God tells Job, when Job is saying, you know, I was proud and things like that, and God says, where were you when I made the world? What do you know about creation? You can make things from stuff I've created, but nobody creates things. The word create means to make from nothing. God says, Job chapter 40 and verse 40, chapter 41, God asks question after question after question that no man can answer. Here in Isaiah chapter 40, God does the same thing. He asks a whole series of questions, not like in Job, but there I'll show you the questions that nobody can answer to show you how big God is. And watch this. It's wonderful. Aren't you glad? Whenever God asks a question in the Bible, I've told you this before, it's not because God doesn't know the answer. God's trying to get us to think. So when God says, who will you liken me to? There's nothing like me. I always have been. Everything else has a starting point. I speak things into existence. I uphold them by the word of my power. I don't ever tire. I don't ever get weary. That's something you do because you're a creation. But God says, what will you liken me to? So that you can understand me. I already understand you. Look at the three questions. You're in Isaiah 40. Look at chapter 40, verse 12. Notice the questions. God says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span? In other words, he said, do you know how much water's on the face of the earth? Answer the question, no. God says, I do. God says, do you know how much volume is in the atmosphere? No, you don't. God says, I do. I know every hair on your head. We don't even know that. Amen. Nor do I want to know that. But watch this. So look at verse, in a measure, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. Look at verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? Does everybody see? God is asking questions. Number one, we could never answer that, but God says, nobody's taught me. You've been taught, but I am so majestic, I'm all-knowing. Nobody has ever had to teach me anything. Look at verse number 14. With whom took he counsel? And same question, who taught the Lord? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him to the way of the understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Have you ever heard anybody say, oh, that's just a drop in the bucket? That's where that comes from. God says they are a drop of a bucket. The nations are nothing to me. He said, you're amazed at the size of the earth and, you know, the complexities of foreign relations and all that. God says, it's nothing to me. I don't worry about anything. So God's trying to show how big. Okay, look at verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing. So God shows us how big and how powerful and eternal he is. Look at, after he asked the question in verse 18, look at verse 19. Watch this. The workman melteth a graven image. Now, here we go. Everybody, before we read this, God is going to show us how stupid we are. Before God just showed us how majestic he is, now God says, let me show you how foolish man is. Verse 19. The workman melteth a graven image. And the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished or poor that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. He said, take the poorest, impoverished country, and in their poverty, I'm trying to get them to look up and their need for me. And they won't. They instead go to a tree, cut it down, and take it to a craftsman, and will have it covered in gold, and they'll worship that idol. He said, instead of looking up. How foolish is that? God says, I put your conscience in you, and I give you the light of your conscience, and they still won't acknowledge it. Look at just a few more verses here. Look at verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Does everybody understand? God's asking the question, don't you know who I am? And he's telling this through Isaiah to the Jews in Israel. They are now in a materialistic, apostate state. Isaiah is preaching and he is telling them, I'm telling you, y'all have gotten away from God. Look at the big God you have forsaken. That's chapter 40. And then, keep on going, look at verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That word tent is the ozone layer. What makes our planet different than Venus or Mercury? Our planet has a tent that God put over it that is the ozone layer. What's the ozone do? It keeps the harmful rays from coming through. Without the ozone layer, we couldn't dwell on the earth. It would be just like Venus or Mars or whatever. The moon doesn't have an ozone layer, a tent. God says, because the earth is the dwelling place of man. You say, why would you say that? All this talk about global warming and the ozone layer, if you look up that word tent, as God's put it over the earth in the Bible, God says it will last the time of the earth. No, we don't need to cut down on fuels and all that other stuff. And I mean, all this global warming, I like what one person said, I'm about to freeze to death with all this global warming. If anything, I want to walk around my house with an aerosol can with a lighter so I can heat things up. That's funny. Okay, here we go. That is not politically correct. Ready? Watch this, that bringeth the princes to nothing, verse 23. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. In verses 12 through 17, God shows how powerful he is. In verses 19 to 24, God shows how foolish man is. Why is God doing all of this? If you had a verse that you could circle in chapter 40, look at verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? Here's God's frustration. This is the question they're saying. My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. God is so hurt that Israel is asking that question. God's forsaken my way. His judgment, God doesn't know what's going. This is what Israel is saying, and Isaiah is saying, you are talking so foolishly. God doesn't care about my life. God doesn't know what's going on in my life. He said, no, God knows what's going on in your life. So chapter 40 is centered around verse 27, and God says, you are talking so foolishly. What do you mean I don't know what's going on in your life? What do you mean your judgment is not, doesn't mean anything to me? God says, no, I do know what's going on. I am very well aware. I've not lost track of anything. When people say, God doesn't care, or here's another thing that could come from verse 27. Oh, I don't see any benefit in doing or living right. God says, I made it so. I am eternal, and there is righteousness, and there are blessings in doing right. You're talking very foolishly. So God continues challenging man through sarcasm and ridicule all the way into chapter 46. And as you read chapters 40, 41, 42, when you get to 46, God's going to say, there is no God like me. I am God and there is none else. And he repeats that over and over again. He said, there is no one like me. Not one. As God pleads with his people to know and trust him, then you hit verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. The host by number, that's the armies in heaven. You know, they say that the stars, they say they... There's over 111 trillion stars. They still don't know how big the universe is. Think about this just for a second. And God says in several verses, that's one of them, God says, I've named every one of them who calleth them by their names. He says, I am bigger than you can comprehend. I am more. He said, you cannot fathom who I am. We are finite creatures. We have an end. We're born, we die, our souls live forever. That's how God created us, right? But we have a starting point. God is infinite. How can something that is finite and have a measure understand something that is infinite and measureless? That's our God. That's the key to the chapter in understanding it. Look at verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob? He says, why are you talking this way? And speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. Notice verse 28. This is where we started. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. So God says, do you not know who I am? Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. God says here, I'm the only one who can give power to the weak. We can't do that. We can encourage one another, but we don't strengthen one another. God says, I'm the only one that does that. Look at verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. This is, and that's what's natural. Everybody understand? We all have an end to our strength. I know you know this. You either sleep when you're supposed to sleep or you sleep when I'm preaching. But you're going to sleep. Amen? You can't go without sleep. God didn't design you that way. You have an end to your strength. It's not natural to run and not be weary. That's supernatural. To do that would take God's power. To walk and not faint. To walk endlessly and walk is supernatural. Here we go. Look at verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So, God says, a child of God, a believer in the Lord, has something infinitely better than any small bottle of 5-hour power, or Monster, or Red Bull, or coffee, or, Lord help us, what's that stuff from InfoWars? Turbo Force, amen. God says, we have something better than energy drinks. Watch this. God can give you new... God enables you when you serve Him, when you surrender to Him. God helps you and renews your strength when you serve Him because you can't outgive God. People say, oh, I'm just too busy to serve God. Most people are. The old statement's still true. You always do what's most important to you, and then you figure out when to do the rest. You know what you did yesterday? What was most important to you? Well, no, I just don't have time. Nobody has time to do it all. You did what was most important to you. You did what was a priority to you. God says, prioritize your life so I'm important. And if you do, if you wait on me, I'll give you more strength than if you hadn't. That's a promise from the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 is a wonderful promise in your Bible. Now, I'm going to show you some more things about it, but God can give you new strength. He renews your strength when you're walking and running for Him. But the strength God renews you with doesn't just help you walk faster and help you run faster. God gives you power to mount up with wings as eagle and fly. You know, this is the concept, and we'll get into this morning. But if you would make God a priority in your life, God will give you more strength to do more if you would put Him first than if you say, well, I just don't have time for that, and I just don't have... God blesses what you give Him. If you give Him your life, He blesses your life and gives you more life. Amen. Nobody outgives God. That's the principle here. God says, He says, if you're running and walking and you think life's busy, He said, if you'll put me in your life and make me a focal point, God says, I won't just make you walk or run faster. I'll give you the strength to fly. And you will do more with me in your life than you thought you ever could do. He said, you can't imagine that. He said, that's what kind of a God I am. What a verse to be able to turn to in your Bible. Now, to understand a few things, okay, God asked the question in verse 18, verse 29, and verse 25, who will you liken me to? What will you compare me to? And God gives us, in verse 31, the eagle picture, mounting up with wings as eagles. We're going to look at that this morning. But notice this. I want you to see two verses in your Bible. Go to the second book in your Bible, Exodus 19, and watch this. Exodus 19, second book in your Bible, Exodus 19, and look at verse 3. To whom will you liken me? What will you compare me to so that you can understand who I am? And God says, I'm just going to open a window. And this isn't all, God's much more than this. But just like God says, to understand my love for you, look at a husband and wife, Ephesians chapter 5. And God likens the believer in Christ to the husband and the wife. God's going to use, watch this, Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up unto God. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, watch, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Remember when God delivered them from Israel, from Egypt and slavery? God says, those plagues and me killing the firstborn and you walking through on dry ground through the Red Sea, He says, I was bearing you on eagle's wings. What's that mean? We'll look at that here in just a second. Now that's Exodus 19. Go to Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Go over just a few books, fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy 32. Isn't that wonderful? God just doesn't want to bring you out of slavery. God wants to bring you to Himself. God wants you to walk with Him and love Him. And God says, I didn't just want to save you and take you to heaven. I wanted to bury you on eagle's wings and bring you to myself. One more verse, Deuteronomy 32, and look at verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Watch. He found him in a desert land, that'd be Egypt, while he was in slavery, and the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye, or the focus of His eye. Notice verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Notice that's not the end of the sentence there. There's a colon. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. God says, if you want to liken me to something so that you can tell what I am to you, one of those things is if you'll look at the eagle and think, just like an eagle treats its young and bears them on the wings, God says, that's what one thing that I am to you. You say, what does that mean as a Christian? God bears us up when we fail, so that must mean we have to step out on faith. God says He bears us up. God boldly speaks of Himself and His power all throughout His Word. And it's very hard, I told you, for us as a finite creation to understand someone who is infinite. God tells us in the Bible. Now, we're going to come down to this verse here in just a second, but just listen to me. God tells us He's eternal. Deuteronomy 33:27. God says He is jealous. Exodus 20, verse 5, and many other places. God says God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is light. 1 John 1:5. God is love. 1 John 4:8. Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. God says, I'll tell you what I'm like so that you can see what I can be in your life. But we come down to this picture of an eagle. And God says, if you would look at an eagle, how she deals with her young, and when you wait on me, I'll give you eagle's wings. God says, you can liken what I can do for you. To understand that, this morning, God, there's several places. Now, before we get into this, I just wanted to take one path. So stick with me here. I just want to take one path and show you there are times in the Bible where God uses an eagle to teach other truths. Okay? Let me give you one. Okay? God warns that a rebellious young person attracts destructive companions like dead animals draw hungry eagles. If somebody wants to be rebellious, there's a warning. It says in Proverbs 30:17, we won't turn to it, just listen. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out and the young eagles shall eat it. That's how come we've heard, and every teenager needs to hear, quit talking back to your parents or the eagles are going to eat your eyeballs. Bible. What does that mean? You keep living that way, you're going to attract the wrong crowd and it's going to destroy your life. So God uses an eagle to teach, you understand, other truths and just about himself. Let me give you another one. God tells us not to put our trust in riches because the rich man's wealth will be dissipated when trouble comes, just as the updrafts of a storm carry the eagle out of sight very quickly. You say, where's that? Proverbs 23:4-5. Listen, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Right? We've heard of feast and famine sometimes when you're dealing with wealth. So God says don't trust in it because riches can leave quickly like an eagle. Okay? One more truth here to show you. We'll focus on this morning. God warned his people many times that if they kept persisting in evil, he would send armies against them that would be swift like an eagle. Okay? And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 49 says, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. So, those are a few places in your Bible. This morning, what I wanted to look at was when God uses an eagle to say, I want you to think of how an eagle lives and deals with its young and flies, and then I want you to liken that to me. And that'll give me a hint, give you a hint of who I can be to you. So, this morning, if we were to think about the eagle, it's a 12 to 14 pound bird. The wingspan on an eagle is 6.5 to 7.5 feet of an adult eagle. It always flies alone. You're there in Deuteronomy 32. Remember verse number 12? So the Lord alone did lead him. You'll never see an eagle fly in a, like vultures. Vultures will have 6 or 8 or sometimes 14 flying over a dead carcass. Then they land. Eagles always fly alone. They never fly with other birds. Same similarity. God says, I alone am God in heaven. Okay? So that's why God likens himself to an eagle and not a vulture. I'm not one of many gods. I am the only God Almighty. How about this? When you're thinking about an eagle, because of its wing size, the eagle is able to carry objects close to its own body weight. It can capture a fish 12 to 14 pounds big. Now, there have been cases because the rear claw on an eagle's foot always closes first, and then the front three close after. They say it's like a vice grip, and if the eagle hits a fish that is heavier than it can pull out, its feet are like a vice, and it can't let go, and normally it drowns. So it has to be careful that it does not pick a fish that's too big, but it can carry a fish that is its own weight. Okay? The eagle is designed to reach its... Now listen to this. You say, what's the main truth you can learn about an eagle? It reaches its full potential and its disciplines in hard times. And I'll show you that this morning. For instance, an eagle always uses violent storms and winds to soar higher. It points itself in the direction of the wind, and the way its wings are designed with low resistance, it uses the storm to go higher, always. You say, can it fly up? It can. It soars. Eagles soar it at heights of 1.5 miles high. But it always uses hardship and adversity to go higher. Something else. You say, now watch. If I stopped right there this morning and God says, I want you to think about an eagle and how it deals with life, then the storms of our life and our hardships and our adversities can either bring you down to the ground and make you bitter, or you can use it to take you higher to the Lord. Right? Isn't that beautiful? Watch this. Keep on going. The scarcity of food forces the eagle to develop its sharp eyesight. We've all heard of eagle eyes, okay? Eagles have very sharp eyes. You say, well, let's talk about the eagle's diet for a second. 90% of the eagle's diet is fish. Only about 10% of it is small mammals and birds, and it does eat carrion or dead things every once in a while, but its primary diet is fish. Now think with me just for a second. If its primary diet is fish, then Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. What are we supposed to get? Our primary function is leading people to Christ, right? Trying to get people saved. That's our primary diet. Do we get enjoyment from answers to prayer and from the Word of God? Yes. But just like an eagle, 90% of its diet is fish. The eagle's ability to overcome the law of gravity by stretching out its wings in flight is a picture of the Christian's ability to rise above the law of sin by entering into Christ's victory and engrafting God's Word into his soul. This is comparable to the step of faith you have to take every day. The primary feathers at the end of the wing are tapered to reduce drag. And when storms approach, strong thermal updrafts, together with the construction of the wing, allow the eagle to fly much higher than it would during normal weather conditions. I told you that. Wind pictures in the Bible adversity and storms and hard times. Adversity helps the eagle go higher. In spite of the eagle's size, sometimes, you know, you'd think, you know, it's funny, there are birds that can bring an eagle to the ground. They can pester the eagle and peck at it while it's flying. That'll literally, it can either cause the eagle to land or the eagle starts using its wings to fly higher so that above where the normal birds fly. To do what? So it can be free from harassments. The birds can't get up there a mile high, mile and a half high. They fly, you know, in the low atmosphere. I think that's amazing. The turbulence and the velocity of the wind is an ally to the eagle to climb higher. If I use that in the Bible, just listen. Psalm 73 verse 28 says, "It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Psalm 119:71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Did you know the trials and heartaches in life can get you closer to God? Or they allow you to, they can be allowed to make you bitter. God says He bears us on His wings like an eagle. God says, "How I bear you on eagle's wings." Now, I want to think just for a second. You're still there in Deuteronomy 32. A mother eagle, no eagle bears another eagle on its back. Like baby eagles don't fly on the wings. Okay? But there's a reason the word bear in your Bible, it means to lift. I lift you on eagle's wings. You say, how does that happen? Remember Deuteronomy 32, it says, verse 11, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth," there it is again, "beareth or lifteth them on her wings." When an eagle builds a nest, a nest can be, they'll gather sticks, but they also gather things for their young like barbed wire. You say, what a blessing. When an eagle builds a nest, it'll break sticks off of trees and brings it, and that nest can literally reach 20 feet in across and 10 feet deep. Okay, 20 feet, this is 16 feet from here to the wall. 20 feet, this is about 20 feet. That's a big nest. And the mother eagle returns to the same nest every year and mates for life until one of them dies. And what they put every year, what they put to prepare their eggs is they gather sticks. They put another layer from last year. That's how come it can reach up to 20 feet. And then they put sharp edges in it, sharp things. They'll even gather glass, barbed wire, and stones, and then they cover them with fur. Then they lay their eggs that year on it. She'll lay her eggs on it. And when it comes time for the eagles to get out of the nest, they're like all young. They don't want to leave the nest. So it says in Deuteronomy verse 11, just like an eagle stirreth up her nest, when it's time for the eagles to fly, she goes through and she literally, with her feet and her beak, she throws out all of the soft items, so the only thing that's in there is prickly items. So the eaglets, two or three, are walking around in it. They're not comfortable anymore. She stirred up. Now this is so awesome because Deuteronomy 32 says, just like an eagle deals with her young, God says, I deal with you. So what does God get us to do to move spiritually? It'd be nice if all of us were so yielded to the Holy Spirit and so full of God that we always did what God wanted us to do, but that's not the case. Most of us are moved by pain. And just like an eagle uses the pain of the floor of the nest, the barbed wire, to cause the eaglets to start going, I want to get out of here. It says then, what's it say there in Deuteronomy 32? In verse 11, it also says, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings. After she's taken the soft items out of the bottom of the nest, then she gets on the edge of the nest, and she three-quarters spreads her wings, not full, but three-quarter, and she flutters, and she'll make a real fast. She's not flying, And it says she spreads her wings and she's trying to get the eaglets. This is where you belong. Look at me. And we're supposed to in our Christian life, when we experience pain, I want out of here. This is prickly. We're supposed to look up and say, God, this is for a reason. And we're supposed to look up and God, that's how come I watch Christians go through hard times. And they're like, I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing, just going to keep on. And the hardship is normally designed to get you to look up. God, what do you want? Okay, Lord, I need your direction. And just like an eagle flutters her wings and spreads her wings and is trying to get the eaglets to look up, you need on the edge of the nest, it's time for you to fly and go higher than you've gone before. Notice the last part of the verse. Look at the last part of the verse. It says, taketh them, beareth them on her wings or lifts. As the eaglets, two or three of them, whatever is in the nest, get up on the edge of the nest and the mother is doing this. She teaches them to face the wind. Whatever direction the wind is blowing, they get up on that edge of the nest and she teaches them, face the wind. If you're going, remember that thing about adversity? How does an eagle fly? It always uses the wind coming at it. It always uses the storm and the hard times and whatever's happening in life, it uses to take it higher. So the mother is teaching the eaglet how to fly, face the wind, and then what's amazing is if you ever watch an eagle take off, it doesn't flap first, it jumps. And then in one hit with its wings, it's airborne because its wings are so massive. That I told you before, that is likened to our jump of faith, right? Our faith in the Lord. What's amazing is the father or the mother of the eaglet, who's both of them do this on the edge of the nest, but they sometimes will kick the baby out. And the eagle's nests are, you ever heard of, you know, it's perched like an eagle's nest? Eagle's nests are normally very high. And that eaglet, to bear it under its wings, it'll soar right down as that eaglet's going, and that mother hits her wings like this, not the baby, but the baby is here, and it is beating the wind, and the updraft is causing the lift for the baby bird, teaching it to fly. So if you understand, till finally, if the bird does hit, and sometimes they do, it's not a full fall. It's a cushioned fall under, you know, not a fully shock, but it's, in other words, they don't normally die from the fall. They die from other things. The bird, there are babies when they're learning to hunt. Remember that thing about the claw I told you? They'll grab a fish, they can drown. If they eat something that has been shot with a gun, three lead pellets can kill. Many eagles die from lead poisoning. Okay? So there's other dangers out there, but that fall is always cushioned as God, as the eagle parent, gives the bird lift as it's learning to fly. Now that we understand that, watch this. Let's think about the eagle's wings for a second. There's over 1,200 feathers on each wing, and the primary feathers at the end of the wing are 20 inches long. The eagle, now that we can understand that, the wind is stirred by the parent to help the young fly. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I can learn to glory in my infirmities. In my darkest trials in life, when I've looked up like God wanted me to, are the times when God helped me the most. And that's true with every Christian. God uses our hard times to get us to look up. Can we go back to Isaiah 40:31 and watch, and then we'll close this morning. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. So the word wait means to make your expectation and your hope in God. When the desire of your heart is to be in tune with God's heart, when you want to do what God wants you to do, if you'll wait on Him, When you make the decision by faith, I'm going to do what God tells me to do, God says, your faith is what I answer to give you wings as eagles to do what? The wings of an eagle are designed to take the hardships of life and help you go higher. So when we think, how can I fit soul winning in my schedule? And man, he wants us to go to church 3 times a week. And then he wants us to read our Bible every day. And then he's talking about praying. And then how do you fit all this in? When you decide you're going to live for God, he gives you eagle's wings and can take whatever hardship you're thinking and he can use it to help you go higher and more than you have. It's a step of faith. Remember, the jump and then the hit. What a picture. If you'll decide you want what God wants for your life, he gives you eagle's wings. To do what? Use what's coming against you and take you higher. What a verse. What a promise of God. How do we do all this? Just walk by faith, give your life to the Lord, and watch God help you. I just don't have strength to do it all. He renews your strength. God's not asking you. Look, faith is never based on, oh, okay, I'll do it. Faith is always based on facts of the Word of God. My faith says, God told that to me. I can trust it. Let's go back to where we started the sermon this morning. God says, what will you liken me to so that you can understand how I deal with you like an eagle? And no, God doesn't carry us on his wings. God gives us lift. Just like the mother does to the eaglet, so that it learns to fly. And God says, when you wait on me, when you focus on me, I'll give you eagle's wings to go higher in the hardship. I hope this is an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Father, please, Lord, use this truth. I know there's more to it, but Lord, help us. You said to think this way. So please bless these people.